Japan, some of our Asian allies, and 12 Asian nations have now entered into negotiations on the Biden initiative to form them into an economic bloc that will stand up to China and advance American interests in Asia, in the Pacific, and incidentally, their own interests. Their own interests. Let me read what the 12 nations are. Some of them are predictable, like Japan, South Korea, Australia, and New Zealand. But here are some others. Singapore, Malaysia, an Islamic country, India, causing us a little pushback lately, Vietnam, Indonesia, the most numerous Islamic country in the world, Thailand, Brunei, and the Philippines, 12 of them. There had been a proposed Trans-Pacific Economic Act, sort of like the EU, but for the Pacific nations, excluding China, and Trump tanked it. Remember, when he talked about S-hole countries, remember that? He said these people come from S-hole countries. He wasn't talking about Germany. He wasn't talking about the UK, France, Italy. He was talking about some of these countries, as well as in Africa. And people don't take kindly to that, that they're an S-hole country. You see what I'm saying? They don't take kindly to that. I wouldn't take kindly to it either. And they are swept up in the competition between the United States and China. But they know that China is inherently a country that steals and oppresses. What do I mean by that? China has this Belt and Road Initiative where they make loans and they build ports and it looks all hunky-dory. And suddenly the country gets a bill for $10 billion. Well, imagine getting a bill for $10 billion in Vietnam or Singapore or Malaysia. And then there's interest on it. And so what has been happening now, which is extraordinary, Afghanistan, by the way, I'll give you an example, and they are not in this. They are not in this. They have a border with China, a very small border with China. And the Chinese came into Kabul after the Americans, we, got out and strutted around and brought in money, and they were going to do these things. And you know what the Taliban did? They killed them. Several suicide bombers. They use women now as suicide bombers in burqas. And they walked up and blew themselves up, and they killed Chinese engineers, Chinese diplomats. Some Chinese women went into the country. They started a massage parlor. They were arrested and haven't been seen since. People are afraid of China, not afraid of the United States. They give their right arm to be in the United States because we're a free country. In any event, you cannot understate or underestimate the enormity of what Biden has accomplished. He has put together the Trans-Pacific Partnership right under everybody's nose. And he's done it in spite of what Trump did, in spite of Republican objections. So India, Vietnam, Indonesia, Thailand, Brunei, Philippines, Japan, South Korea, Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, and Malaysia, as a result of his initiative, have expressed interest partnering with the United States. That'll mean lower tariffs both ways. These are great, great, great markets, especially for our agricultural products and our finished products. We're a great market for some raw materials from these folks. These are our fellow human beings on the planet, for Pete's sake, okay? Let's get together with them. And it's the EU is the model. Now, it's not going to be the EU for some time. These are less developed countries, some of them, not Japan. I mean, Japan, South Korea, obviously Australia, New Zealand, and India, if they ever come correct here and quit playing footsie with the Ruskies. But the others, you know, there's going to be some challenges. I get it. But basically, it's in our interest, America's interest, to put them together in a coalition, an economic coalition, not a military coalition. We're not going to have a NATO per se, where we all agree to defend one another. But the truth is, the United States would defend an attack on Japan and on South Korea and on Australia and New Zealand, and if there were attacks on anywhere else, we would not only have armaments in there, but in some cases we'd respond also, because it's in our interest. Now, the other thing you cannot understate or underestimate is what Joe Biden has done in Europe. When Donald Trump was president, he kept threatening to take the U.S. out of NATO. Now, what that does, and some people say, oh, he only wanted to make sure that they paid more of their budget on defense. Baloney. There were countries there that were paying the 2% required, and he still wanted to get out of NATO. The fact of the matter is that he was beholden to Putin on several levels. He's been funded by Putin for decades. There is the sex video that's rumored. People attack it. But you cannot explain Trump's abject servility and subjection to Putin simply on economic terms. Just because a guy lends me a lot of money, I'm not going to be that servile. But if a guy has a tape of me in a Moscow hotel room, which is what the British agent has reported, reliable information from a lot of governments in Eastern Europe, of me in some, or in this case, Trump, in a truly compromising position, that will get my attention. That will get his attention. And that's what happened. So when a president, you know, you can say, well, Donald Trump can't take us out of NATO. It's a treaty. So the Senate would have to abrogate the treaty, rescind it, vote on it, and there'd have to be a public discussion about it. And Trump would say, no, I'm going to do it by executive order. At some point, I don't care about the legalities. If the president of the United States, who is the commander-in-chief of our military, says, I am going to withdraw us from NATO and will no longer defend the other NATO countries from attack by Russia, I don't care what the Congress says. They can put in a resolution saying, no, we're with NATO. But if Poland and Latvia are attacked, Trump's the guy that has to send the troops, and he won't send them. Trump is a dangerous individual. Trump is afraid of Putin. You cannot have a president who's scared of another country. You just can't have that. Zelensky's not scared of Russia. And he's in a very tough position. He's a magnificent patriot of his own. So what Biden did when he came back in, there was tremendous, when he got into the presidency, there was tremendous anxiety, fear, and uncertainty in Europe about whether the United States was still going to be a world leader, was still going to lead the free world. And he and Tony Blinken, the Secretary of State, and Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense, have been magnificent. Spend all their time. They travel around Europe in all the capitals, meeting with their counterparts. Then they set up meetings by Zoom or in person between Trump and the heads of state and heads of government in these countries. And they go, America's back. We're with you. We're in NATO. We have your back. The single Russian boot steps foot in Warsaw. We're on that. We're on that big time. And they've armed all of NATO. And NATO feels strong and healthy again. And Russia is back on the defensive. That would not have happened if Trump had gotten in a second term. And it's, you know, it's very hard to beat an incumbent president. It's very hard. It's hard for Reagan to beat Carter. And the polls leading up to that election, even though he won comfortably, it showed Carter with a slight edge right before the election. Right before the election. It also showed the Democrats in the Senate winning, and then they ended up losing the Senate. So you can't tell on polls, but I'll tell you what. It was a close election in several states. It wasn't close overall. Biden won by 7 million votes nationally and more than 30 electoral votes. But when you talk 20,000 votes in Wisconsin, I think it was 14,000 in Arizona. Maybe it was 11 to 14 somewhere there in Georgia after all the recounts. That's getting a little thin on the electoral college. That's getting a little thin. We came very close, in a sense, very close to Trump being in a second term. He would have pulled us out of NATO. And then it's not just Ukraine. Russia could have walked into Poland, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Croatia, Serbia, Bulgaria, all of them whom they had before. Now, their military is garbage, largely because Putin and the oligarchs steal about 80%, 80, of Russia's wealth, their balance of trade, well over $1 trillion. And that's why the military is ill-supplied over there. So if they'd gone into these places, the locals would have put up a stiff resistance, and there would have been essentially a series of conflicts that would resemble a world war, and we'd be on the defensive. Joe Biden stopped that. Joe Biden stopped that. Joe Biden strengthened the EU. Trump lobbied to have the UK leave the EU with Russian help in hacking the election. Joe Biden has made it clear to the EU clear to the UK, they should get back in the EU. What's happened, the malignancy of the UK getting out of the EU, is they're now tampering with the peace in Ireland, trying to reinstate the hard border for the six counties. All because of trade, all because of tariffs. There should be no tariffs anywhere in Europe. And that includes Ireland. And that includes England and Wales and Scotland. Why do you think there are these independence movements in Scotland? I mean, why do you think they have that there? Because they've had bad leadership in London. The English have had bad leadership. They've got to get back into the EU. And under their constitution, they did not have to have an election. They did it as a showboat deal, thinking that they'd stay in the EU, and a narrow majority said leave, and this is what happens. Biden's trying to restore the EU, the complete EU. Britain, get back in the EU. You idiots, get back. Get back. Shore up the EU, shore up NATO, and now Biden is shoring up Asia. This will go down in history as one of the greatest accomplishments of a head of state, greatest diplomatic accomplishments in the 21st century. Want to break? The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. I've known a secret for a week or two. Nobody knows.